Hi, this is Tara, and you're checking out Tea Time with Tara. This week's episode is with a very special guest. His story is really incredible, honestly. I actually followed him after hearing him on somebody else's podcast probably at least a year ago, and we've been in touch ever since. And so he has actually introduced me to a few of my podcast guests, and he's just a great guy. And I really loved talking to him because I've had the people that he has introduced me to on the show, and I hadn't had him yet. But I was on his show, and I believe I shared that. Probably have to share it again just because. But anyway, enjoy. Hi, Mario. Welcome to my show, finally.
Finally, look, we're chasing each other for some time now, and I'm so grateful and very thankful to be on your podcast, Tara, Tea Time with Tara.
Yes, thank you so much for doing this, and honestly, for connecting me with so many people. I feel like I've thanked you several episodes now because you deserve this, Tara.
Yeah. Look, we're going on a long time, like an old married couple, like maybe a year ago now we know each other. So like, and the thing it is, I truly believe that people are introduce you and vice versa. It's there is a reason. And so, thank you. You don't need to say thank you many times. So that's okay. Thank you.
All right. But I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
So the reason that I started following you, I won't get into like the whole backstory, but I discovered you from someone else's podcast. And I started following you on Instagram, I believe, specifically because your story is so interesting.
Oh, thank you, Tara. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And well, yeah, like because you have overcome so much. And can you tell me a little bit about it, whatever you're comfortable with?
Yeah, absolutely. I first of all admire your chat. You know, I mean, I was listening who you spoke with and who did you interview and everything.
You need to cut this one.
It was my phone ringing. I don't know how my phone is ringing. Okay. Anyway, so start again. So look, it's I forgot it. Seriously, you can leave this one. This is what's happening to podcasting. When you try to prepare everything and then at the end of the day, you make so many hiccups and mistakes, which, you know, can be corrected, okay. But leave it. This is the very sexy part, you know, me doing mistake. So, yeah, look, I think, you know, you always come back to the story of everybody from the back rather than from the beginning, because everybody likes, in my life experience, when I was working in government sector, in intelligence, counterintelligence, they taught us how to catch the liar. Instead of following somebody, a timeline, I mean, I was born that day and la, 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 start from the start. Today, I'm very grateful that I'm, first of all, on your chat and, being with somebody like yourself, who's extremely busy and have tremendous guests, you know, it's a true privilege. Secondly, as for myself, I see myself as a humble man. Always try to be humble man and, despite, people try to portray me this way or that way, I don't care. I'm the father of one, and I'm the business owner of several successful businesses related around intelligence and counterintelligence, and running my podcast, Life to Battlefield. Today, I'm here only and exclusively because of the hardship in life, like everybody else. So, my life was very simple in terms of lifestyle. I was a little crook, little tag criminal, end up in juvie when I was age of 13, and nobody told me to do things. Stabbed the man with a screwdriver twice at the age of 13, and being in common society, I think somehow I paved the path, to the prison, long time prison for myself, because that was only I knew it. I think that everything else was the reason, the fate, or whatever you want to call this. My parents eventually kicked me out because they saw me as a big burden for themselves. And age 14. They told me literally fuck off, and it's like, well, it's cold out, it's a winter, 10 degrees below, remember, it's snowing. My father was very drunk, it was a typical communist product, next year we're gonna conquer America, England, they're like, long live the land.
where were you living at this point?
Yugoslavia, you know, Yugoslavia was a it was ordinary communist country, and you know, you don't know nothing about it. Like I really thought, I can't say, you know, from time to time somebody will come from overseas, and because after Tito died in 1980s, the borders have become very loose, so people control more, like, but you have no money to travel, so but those who traveled, they brought us some magazines. We were like, oh my god. I remember my what's it called, head mistress in school, she traveled in US 1984 or 5 and to see the family and so for the since Second World War end up, and she told us, you know, like in America have this, and we were like, all like, you know, we all want to go on a Venice Beach, you know, California. So, you know, 86, you know, my parents kicked me out. My grandfather was gratefully was passing that evening, that fateful evening. My grandfather was the second man of the secret police in Yugoslavia. Took me under his umbrella, told me, listen, you little fucking, I mean, nobody wants you, nobody loves you except me. And it's like, well, that's nothing new. And what happened next, to my grandfather, you know, put me under his roof with his wife. And 7-8 months later, I was end up in military school, in naval military school at age 14. That was a communism normal, you know, that's, you know, going to high school. And yeah,
I cannot even imagine.
Yeah, and I really like, you know, I can't enroll, Tara. Like, you know, I was just, my grades was so shit, man. I think I couldn't get a job even cleaning McDonald's toilets for that at that stage. He vouched for me, you know, as old communist and, you know, same military school. Fast track, as you know, Yugoslavia, the people of the communist country decide, you know, take the burden of the communism, and democracy was welcome. Yugoslavia was the last one standing intact, but mm-hmm. the nationalism was brewing, and Croatia says, enough, you know, we want independence, we want a democracy, we don't want to be the part of federal system in all this communism, blah, blah, blah. And war started, and that's how I started my career.
So crazy to think of you, like, because my son is 15, you know, I just cannot wrap my head around my child being in a situation like that. And I mean, absolutely not. What do you think that did to you as a person? Like, how did that impact you?
Well, look, I, from my side, you know, like I was having double lifestyle. Like I was like sort of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, in sense, because while I was going to primary school and I was a little criminal on the street, you know, I was an altar boy as well. So like the priest I was servicing in the church, you know, I was welcomed by him, and he was always, he hugged me and welcomed me, and, you know, he done the best to show me the love. But when I went to military school, that was a different situation, because I got responsibility, accountability. I need to finish this. Even I didn't finish to the end because the war broke out. So the thing is, things were different at that stage. But I found myself to belong to something. Even, you know, I always say to people, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, I always wanted to be the general, you know, like a kid, you know. But then, you know, you become the soldier and you're preparing yourself. And at age 14, you're getting, you know, getting the obligation that you wake up every day at 6 o'clock in the morning. You get all this food, great gear, you know, best equipment, everything else. And I mean, being in the office and in the military in Yugoslavia, in communism is like, whoa, you know, whoa. And I found myself like, you know, loving this thing, although I couldn't understand that bullshit, you know, about socialism and communism. I try to understand, because you have all these, you know, different lines of proletariats, socialists, communists, agenda, that agenda, you know, everybody's our enemy, you know, everybody, it's our enemy, even the animals is the enemy of communism. The Russia Eastern Bloc was our enemy. So it was hard for me, but, you know, it's that sense of belonging to the core was a one thing.
Right.
And then war broke out. But I wake up on a fateful 14th of July, 1991. I wake up in the morning after Crimea River night before. I was drunk because my girlfriend dumped me. You know, seriously, it was just like, I could not believe it. Anyway, I was almost 18. She was 15, 16, something like this, you know. So it was allowed. It was not underage. Let me understand. Like, when we start dating each other. So, you know, like how it is, like it's the first girl, you know, I mean, first sex, everything else.
Yeah.
And suddenly we are stopping seeing each other because something's happening in Yugoslavia. And I wake up 14th of July, 1991. Somebody was banging on the door and I opened the door. I said, like, where's my parents? You know, I mean, I just tried to understand, you know what I mean? And there was military police on the door. Said, like, Comrade Beckes, you know, by decree of the Social Federative Republic of Yugoslavia Federal Army, you are, you know, need to report to army barracks, you know, immediately, war situation, something. It's like, what? I'm still crying in my dreams, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I was 18 years old, and I said, okay, I took that letter, and I walked in a unit, and I found that piece of paper. My mom wrote it because my dad, you know, despite being the greatest communist on the planet, my mom, he knew how to write and read, but my mom, she knew it. So she wrote the message, we're okay. And I was like, what the fuck? That means we're okay. You know what I mean? Like, and then as I was walking downstairs, the first shell started breaking down on the concrete. And, you know, I saw that my friends till today become my biggest enemy because they belong to the different establishment, different nationality, religion. Yeah, so that was a funny start. That was a funny start. You know, I mean, I'm gonna be like a Rambo man. I'm gonna, man. It wasn't like this. I was doing more Crimea River than anything else. Yeah. Because I was suffering, Tara. Like, you know, I was like,
just Crimea River.
You know, like, you know, like, you don't, you can understand on that stage. There was no internet. There was no, you know, there was nothing. You know, there was one channel on TV. One channel. I mean.
Yeah,
and I know that my girlfriend, she left in Serbia, right? You know what I mean? And the Serbia, entire Federation of Yugoslavia attacking my state, you know what I mean? My country, Republic of Croatia. And then, you know, suddenly one thing leads to another, you know what I mean? Like I've been sent to the quick crash, they call the crash course for the special, you know, special units. So like, whoa, man, 7 days, you know, all these kumbaya, you know what I mean? Exercises, you know what I mean? And, you know, we just... And then, like 7 days later, I've been sent to the front line. And, you know, first thing, you know, as we were approaching to the village, which was occupied, you know, they opened the door of the armored personnel vehicle and they said, like, run out. And as I ran out, you know, there was enemy soldier, like, you know, falling in front of us. Like, as you know, when you open the door and somebody runs towards you, dying, you know, I mean, falling enemy soldier. I was like, oh, my God, mom, where is my mom? You know what I mean? And. Yeah, like, you know, I was 18 and a half years old, and my first day in a combat was started and lasted for 1,800 consecutive days.
So oh, that was... my goodness.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, and, you know, as well, Crimea River for my girlfriend. You know, I couldn't find her. I was writing the letters, you know, I mean, that was the best part. The people don't understand, you know. I think that everything in life, whatever happened to us, I can say now because I'm 50 years old, if I look at my life now, life by design, it's full of obstacles in unpredictable situations. People in our life, I'm more grateful to people who come in my life, they taught me the lesson, than people in my life who just love me for who I am. Because I think it's very valuable to learn that what I learned in the war, let's just say, on a man behavior, and I mean on a man social behavior in a war, like the guys I used to be, I was afraid of because they're tough and rough guys. Tara, can you imagine the man dressed as a woman and runs from his city not to fight? You know, I said to myself, the only kids left, you know, between 18 to 20 and 65 plus men. Everything between is gone. And I was like, where is everybody? Because they're afraid. So like, you know, nobody can impress me anymore with those BS stories, the bullshit stories, you know. When you wake up in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, man, you're just going to gym, you know, just exercise, man. The life is just don't be afraid. I was afraid. I think that being afraid is okay, particularly in war.
Yeah.
Even now, Tara, and I congratulate every woman like yourself who gives the birth, because if I need to give the birth, I think I'll be biggest coward. I'll cry before the giving birth and after. Because
oh, it's awful.
So it's like, the women had more courage than the men. I'm telling you this right now. I saw the women in war who fought the war. You know, they have a lot of courage, more courage than the men. I used to be looked very high, you know, like because they were tough, rough guys. And most of those guys who are the big and rough and tough, they are, you know, crying and, you know, they will escape situation because,
yeah.
So, yeah, 5 years later, I was in military in a war and, you know, being wounded a few times, you know what I mean? I learned that when the bullet hits you and you've been stabbed, or, you know, all these things can hurt. It's not like in the movies, like, yeah, man, give me the smoke. And
right.
Yeah, I was crying, you know. I was like,
I mean, I can't blame you.
So that was it. You know, it's like I wasn't expecting my life. You know, as I said, like you see your son 15 years old. I see my son is 20 years old. And when I see him, I do remember I was 20 years old when I was second time wounded. Yeah. And when I see my son, I see myself. I see like it was how I was really looking like him. You know, that smooth skin and, you know, that all this. But it was life, you know what I mean? Life gave me the, you know, what I deserve and I need to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's amazing to me that you have come out the other side of that as strong and kind and vulnerable, like able to be vulnerable and all of those things, because the strength, there's so much strength in that vulnerability, which you were talking about, like being able to say I'm scared even in those situations and just acknowledging that that's how you feel. I mean, you can't suppress that forever because eventually it's going to burst out of you, right?
Yeah. So look, I just said this, people talk about, you know, stress-free environment. I think that, you know, I realized one thing before every action, there was anxiety, there was a stress, you know what I mean? But it's not like chronic stress like people have today, like every day after day. It was not malignant. I truly believe that stress is a good for a person to understand because you want to achieve some results, like, you know,
right.
Tea time with Tara, I mean, you want your successful podcast, and of course you're stressing, you know, it's going to be good sound, going to be good image, everything else. you know, that's normal. Like the fear, it's normal. And nobody can convince me the fear it's bad. Because Tara, look, in hindsight, everybody can go public and tell the story to people how to live the life. But one thing, you know, everybody forgets what I learned when I was in Intelligence Academy. And you heard this expression before, like no one shoe size fits all, right? You know, what is my formula for success doesn't necessarily need to be yours. Mm-hmm. And I always come to the, you know, my son was suffering from epilepsy for 12 years. And then then we cured that one eventually. Then he became diabetes. And, you know, I can see in his eyes, life looks very different. And I said to him, look, I can't tell you what my life was good or bad or you, Tara. But your inspiration, Tara, as well for the other people. You know, I'm seeing your post and I'm inviting you, please check the Tara Facebook page, you know, Tea Time with Tara. You know, the bravery, you know, I say always, takes the courage to be the coward, Tara. Believe me or not. Because people can bullshit so many things that they will, you know, that they will hide behind their lies because they're cowards. So, the war make me better man, I can't say make me better, make me harder to kill. Yes, did make me. That is one thing. Yeah. But I say everybody, when you wake up in the morning, you know, you don't need to change your life for nobody. You need to change your life for yourself. In military, there's a reason why everything is regimental and everything's been, you know, done for me. In 1998, when I eventually, 1996, I said to myself, I was married first time. And my father was passed away, and I found out that my wife, she's pregnant with somebody else on a funeral. Anyway, long story short, la, 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 la. I said to myself, it's enough of the army. I want to step it out. I want to dedicate myself to that marriage, whatever. You know what I mean? And what happened in that stage, I always wanted to see what's the life look like on other side of the planet. You know what I mean? Anyway. A few months later, I was in a coffee shop with a good friend of mine because we work in then in military intelligence security services. And comes this beautiful lady, and I mean, with four men in black, literally men in black, 96, midsummer, right? And she comes to my table, like, and I was like, oh my God, look at this chick, man. We were like, you know, me and him were like all saliva, like, you know, just fucking imagine, like 24 years old. Like, oh. We know everything, you know, I mean, we are national heroes. But, you know, I was working every day in a different service, in military after, you know, because war ended up in 95. And she comes to me and she says to me, you must be Mario. I was like, but I was more worried about these guys around her because, you know, it's the criminals, whatever they are, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because organized crime, with the war, simultaneously grows two things. The organized crime grows, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what's it calling? The white-collar crime. So organized crime, white-collar crime, two things are growing with the war always. And she says to me, this is envelope. I want to see you on a Monday. I said, like, you want to see me, baby? You know who I am, you know, like. And she was like, she says, I know who you are. Open the envelope later on. Anyway, make a long story short. Following Monday, I was on a train to Capital City to have the interview with my future boss. And I was in 7 months later, sorry, 2 years later, I was in Foreign Affairs, Directorate 7. Then it was called Directorate 7, which was a Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Security Intelligence and Counterintelligence Services. That mm-hmm. was the official name. And, you know, 98, I stepped out of military on the 1st of June. 6 months later, I was on a plane to Australia. I said, like, God, why Australia? I said to my boss, I said, like, you know how far away that it is? You know, did you see the map? It's like we got like a Captain Jack Sparrow, end of the world. You know what I mean? Just going to fall down. So, yeah, like, you know, I come to Australia, and then I was 5 years in diplomacy here. I decided to stay. So that was my part. You know, I mean, at age 30, I was ready 16 years in military government services and everything else. And, you know, I was a little bit tired. You know, I mean, I was a little bit tired. And, you know,
a little bit.
You know, I just wanted, you know, because, you know, democracy is one thing. When you fight for democracy, people take a democracy very for the granted.
Oh, yes.
They shouldn't. And they should do different things. But I said, like, again, I always believe that people need to experience their life on themselves. I don't feel self-pity for nobody. Only thing when I can see the people fighting for life, it's people like yourself. And, you know, having kids, it's a one thing. You know, mother of my child, you know, I admire her for what she done, what she did, what she's still doing for our kid. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, so like I've always said, come back to one thing. Doesn't matter what in life you've been served, you know, take it this with the pride. You know, you can swallow when you want one bit, or you can chew it. Doesn't matter what you do, it's going to pass. And one thing it's certain for all of us, and I admire you for this, Tara, I tell you what that it is. Life, it's very short, and people come and go. And one thing that everybody forgets that to do it, except doing the coffees and, you know, let's go do drinking and partying. Tara, what you're doing with this podcast right now, and I'm inviting everybody, all of you, you're creating the legacy. One day when we go somewhere, who knows where, your kids, my grandkids going to say, oh, look at my grandfather with a title like 60 years ago on the internet, right? they understand. Takes the balls, takes the courage for this, what you're doing. And for that, you don't need the gurus, you don't need the business coaches, lifestyle coaches, whatever it is. You need the Tara. And that's what the Tara makes you unique, creating legacy to this podcast one day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I mean, I'm doing it partially because of them. I mean, my kids have been my reason for everything, you know.
Yeah.
My kids are what keep me going when I feel like I can't anymore. I mean, there have been times when I've been so depressed and I mean, even recently with everything that I have going on with my health and in my personal life, I reached a really, really low point where I was like, maybe everyone would just be better if I wasn't around. And
don't think that way.
Of course. Yeah. But like I thought about my kids and I was like, no, no way. They need me. And I'm doing this. I'm doing what I'm doing to help other people. And if I don't do this, then I'm not reaching those people anymore. And so, I mean, I want my kids to see that you can go through a bunch of shit and you can be really fucked up from it. But you can still be a good person. You can still have a good life. And I mean, those are the things that everyone that comes on this show has in common, right? Everybody has been through some shit. No matter who can relate to whose story, there's always somebody out there that can relate to someone. And it's so important for us to talk about that, to show that vulnerability of this was my pain. And I took that pain. What do you say you turn it, what do you say?
Crime river, you, yeah, no.
No, you say oh my gosh.
Look, I just gonna say
one, not victim.
Yeah, no, for making the victim. It's like you can admire this. Look, it's easy to be critic, right? In my life, I tell you something. My parents, I saw the very first time in 93, my parents lost both of them. They lost a job because government said during the war, you can be whatever you want, but once per month you need to report to a factory or the workplace where you are, you know what I mean? Because you need to save the count and all these things. My parents disappeared. I didn't know where they are. Anyway, eventually they arrived in 93. My mom, she stayed without job. So she's been sacked, you know what I mean? Because she wasn't reporting and nothing else. So I asked in military, I was 21 years old, and I asked in military to give her job. They gave her job. My mom, she started working in reserve army to do cleaning the kitchens, all these things. Anyway, making those things very, very simple. My mom, she started stealing from the military and being caught. And my mom, somehow they connected her with me, you know, so like they didn't know what to do with me. They knew that I wasn't involved with these things, but you know, she cares my surname and I'm working in state government security services. Right. Anyway, they demoted me. They demoted me, like from lieutenant to the soldier. I can't explain it to you. Like, you know, nobody does this. You know what I mean? It's not like a dirty dozen take at your rank and you go in. It was worse, you know what I mean, than this. But it's okay to be, you know, not okay, Tara. It's okay not to be okay. You same as well as you do. You know, if somebody says to me that, you know, I was only the bravest guy. Yeah, I was the bravest guy once when the action started. But, you know, I had a more doubtful moments in my life, more fear in my bones. And you know, when I just give example, like, you know, they told us me to jump from the plane. You know what that means, jumping from the plane? Yeah, it's cool when you watch it from down.
Okay, no.
Yeah, but we need to do the fire jumps, you know, it's a static climb, which means, you know, your parachute is attached to the line and they push you out and automatically open for you. Everything just blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we are all in the air screaming, like, you know, we're supposed to be silent, you know, it's supposed to be silent assassins. And it was in the air. Once we reached the ground, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't break my legs. Thank God. Anyway, you know, everybody was so brave and touched the ground. But you know, the reality is, Tara, I tell you, we all see each other trousers. And everybody pissed the trousers. Everybody. Except one guy who's naturally be crazy. You know what I mean? He enjoyed. And but we skipped that part. You know what I mean? Like, we went out in the city. We're bravest guys. So what I try to say to you, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to fail. You know, failing in life, I think it's decision what you're going to do with it. Same with emotions. Emotions then cannot be quantified good or bad. Emotions, they have no color, smell. They're just emotions. It's hurting our brain somehow. But what we decide to do with this, an example, like, you know, I'm an expert, you know, I was like, as if I have a subscription-based type, you know, relationship. Every time I was being dumped, you know, I mean, dump. And every time I was like, oh, my life.
You had
was
a
like,
subscription.
Well, it is, like, you know, I mean, like, I'm in love. And, you know, I mean, then she says to me, you know, that tragic thing was always like, don't make me to call. 10 guys will be here to replace us. So, like, I have nobody to call. Not even the fire brigades, you know, I have no mobile phone. But anyway, I think it is. So, you know, I was hurt, you know, I mean, I decided to be hurt. But then I realized myself, okay, let me stand on a ball and see what the life has for me. And the only time when I ventured out of my comfort zone, which everybody needs to do, and that's where the Tea Time with Tara podcast is something I really enjoy and I really admire for this, because you step out of comfort zone to do podcasting, to talk to people, to produce, to edit, to share around. Well, hello, Dolce Gabbana. And I mean, how many people can do this? Everybody can say, oh, your podcast is good or bad. No, no. Your podcast is freaking awesome. Why? Because you're doing what most of people don't do.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, totally. I mean, again, it's really all about just opening ourselves up. And I know that there are people out there that don't agree with what I say or what I'm doing. And I'm not doing it for those people. There are people who this will help. And that's why I'm doing it. If people want to judge me based on something that I say on here, so be it.
Good luck to
talk
them.
To me about it. Yeah. I mean, we can talk about it. Maybe, you know, maybe I can learn something new. I'm open to that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about the people that this really matters to. Fuck everyone else.
How you can learn something from somebody who doesn't do things what you do. And this is always a starting. I mean, when I was, particularly when I was in counterintelligence services in foreign affairs, you know, all my bosses over there, like, you know, they all like have this murky background, you know what I mean? And it's like, how are you going to learn something? There's no book, you know, for the espionage. You're learning as a craft of the study as a senior person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some books, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, so like when I'm going to start learning, they told me, well, you, the moment you walk the door, it's a lesson to be given to you. And I'm like, come on, man. So, but learning from them was okay. But imagine I come into you, Tara, and say like, you know, you as a mother, you should do this and this and this. Nah, I'm not a mother. I don't know nothing about
I tell you to fuck off.
Nice. Congratulations. No, seriously. That's what it is. So every time when you get your podcast out and you have, let's just say, 100 people listening to your podcast, 100 people, imagine now the room full of 100 people coming day for Tara podcast. That's what it is, success. And you know what that is? What I'm reminding you, you're not afraid to say that you don't feel well. You have a low esteem or, you know, some days are not great. It's a fucking normal, man. Imagine being the fucking Iron Man every day.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, and that's why I do it. That's why I say, like, I know that I have done a lot of work to overcome all of the stuff that I've been through. Right. I've done so much work, and I do so much work every day. But there are certain things that you won't know how to deal with until you're put in a certain situation.
Yes.
And then you learn something new about yourself.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not a great thing that you learn about yourself. Sometimes you do something shitty and then you have to look, well, why did I do that? You know, that's not really the kind of person I want to be. And so it's all a process.
As I say to you, I admire you for what you do. And, you know, I mean, I really, really enjoying talking to you, Tara, because, you know, it's like, takes the courage. This is the courage. Do you put your face and your look and your voice and your environment and your life and everything around the people on display. And as I said, like, you know, all these guys, I'm listening to them every day, you know, when they say, you know, things where they say, you don't need to go in school. You're just gonna be successful. Bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not in school, how do you know? Just saying, right? I'm sorry. This is my phone. I was like, just like, do myself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, success looks different for everyone. Everyone's path is different. And excuse me, I think that it's important for us to just embrace that, you know, for everybody to embrace that their journey is different because their path is like their, I don't want to say destination because there is a destination, you know. It's
Can I promote myself for the second? I mean, so I done the
research
on YouTube video called The Success or something related to success. And you're absolutely right, Tara. You're the second person to tell me this thing. A few weeks ago I went with my son, heartbroken, you know, I mean, like, of course. So like, let's go a couple of days in away, you know, I mean, without money. And you know, anyway, he said, can I bring my friend? And I said, who's your friend? Tim. Okay, Tim. Tim is as well heartbroken. I said, okay, doesn't matter. We have the, you know, I rented the unit, you know what I mean? It's a 4-bedroom unit. You know, the guys can sleep every, you know, anyway, they can be together and I can do my drones and daydreaming, whatever it is. Anyway, so like, And I said to Tim, what you're studying, he said like quantum physics or something, like a little Einstein, literally, like the guy.
He's oh,
like
doing, my goodness.
You know, really lecturing, you know, I mean, I was like, God. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I said to him, can you make me equation for success? And he looked at me like, you know, with those eyes, you know, the kid's 20s or like this. 21. He's a 21 year older than my son, like these big eyes. He said, Mr. Biggs. I said, like, oh, just call me Mario, right? Don't worry, I'm paying for the unit anyway, so don't worry. He says to me, I can make it any equation, but can you define to me what is for you success? And I'm like, yeah, well, I want to be like better than Joe Rogan, just say, right? Figure of speech, right? He says to me, mm-hmm. So what Joe Rogan has, what you don't have. And I was like, come on, he become complicating more and more elements, more this, you know, new things into this equation. He says to me, see, nobody has the same definition of success. Somebody's success mm-hmm. is up. You know, I don't know, five people for him, somebody 5 million, somebody to be the handsome, somebody do this. So you're absolutely right, Tara, for that I really admire you now, because he said something what this boy told me. We all had a different success, definition of success in our life. So
yeah,
well done.
I mean, for me, success is just continuing on this path and learning and growing and being happy and helping people. That's what success looks like for me. Yeah. To provide for my kids, to make sure that my kids feel happy and supported and loved and all of the good things. Those are the things that define success for me.
Yeah.
Not like how much money I'm making necessarily, although that obviously helps.
Well, money is good.
Makes things easier, but it's not everything.
Yeah, look, one thing about money, like people are like, you know, my father always said to me, money is the root of all evils. It's like, yeah, because we don't have nothing. You know, I mean, we have nothing. I'm just like always complaining and bitching. But you're absolutely right. You know, I truly believe that only one prerequisite in life for every success, or every joy in life, or whatever you want to call it, is health. And as long as you're healthy, I believe that everything is possible. And, you know, I can quantify this because I spend many years in hospital around my son, you know, with that epilepsy thing. Mm-hmm. And there was a much more worse cases than my son. And those parents, you know, I know how they felt, because, you know, parents talk to parents. And right, I said to myself, you know, I mean, the only kids what they want is a health, you know what I mean? And they have a dreaming. And I think myself, like, why all this money if I can't see my son one day enjoy, let's go say something, you know what I mean? So that's the beauty part. So yeah. Tara, you're absolutely spot on.
Yeah, especially when we have kids, I think obviously once you become a parent, at least most people, your child becomes the center of your universe.
Absolutely.
And
look, daddy can be anybody. Only one mother can be. Daddy can be anybody in the world. But mother, and it's like I see my son, you know, doesn't matter, I'm the father, but as like the mother, it represents everything. And you know what? I'm happy seeing every child close to their mom, because what mom can do for the child, daddy can't even dream about. And I can guarantee you this, it's 100% sure. And that's what is your biggest engine, Tara, your kids.
Well, there's actually a quote. I believe it's mother is God in the eyes of a child.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that one. Yes, yeah.
And that's I see it. I see it in my kids all the time. Even when they're awful, and
don't worry, they're gonna become even worse more.
I know. Well, it's like I spaced it out really nice, so I have a teenager and a toddler, and I'm just pulling my hair out because one of them is moody because he's, you know, he's so cool and he's got stuff going on, and
yeah.
I'm not cool. I'm the least cool mom. And then my daughter, she treats me like this is a prison if I don't let her watch her iPad while she eats breakfast. And it's like, hello, do you have any idea about anything? And then I'm like, that's fine. We don't have to talk. You can be upset. And she'll say something mean like, I don't like living here. And then I'm like, okay, do you want to go live somewhere else? And she goes, no, I'm sorry.
No, that's a kid, and that's like I always come back to this. You know, see, you're smiling at the end of the day. You're smiling because, you know, our parents didn't know nothing better, and, you know, that they live the life as they live. But say you and I have the opportunity, and I mean, giving those kids the different life. You know, when I took my son,
exactly,
I think two years ago, he tricked me. He says, I want to see your tattoo artist. I said, like, well, okay. And he said, I just want to ask him how to do something. So, okay. Anyway, I left him for 10 minutes. And I'm lying, 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, the guy was already doing it. And I was like, what are you doing, Matteo? He has this Truman Show, the stairs at the end of the movie, right? And I said to him, you know, Matteo, if I told my father to don't want to do tattoo, my father will break me the old furniture on my back, right? So I tried to say I was laughing because he tricked me into this bullshit, you know, I mean, story. And I really believe generally he's going to just ask the question, right? And no, he didn't, you know, he's actually, he done tattoo. So like, Tara, you're a good mother, you know what I mean? And are you smiling? That's the best part.
Well, I mean, it shows when you talk about your son too, that's the thing that lights us up. It really is that love. And when I found out that I was pregnant with my daughter, I was like, I can't imagine loving another human being as much as I love my son. Like, he is the center of my universe, the love of my life. He's everything.
Yes.
And then I had my daughter and it all made sense. Yeah. It's different. It's different. You know, I love them differently because they are different people and they have different needs and all of that. But like being able to recognize that, like I was scared. I was truly afraid that I wasn't going to love my own baby.
Yeah.
And like, I guess maybe that even just the fact that I gave enough of a shit to be worried about that, like is a little ridiculous, you know, but, it's like we have an unlimited capacity to love as human beings.
Correct. Yes.
And so whether it's our own children or our friends or romantic partners,
yes,
or even just strangers, you can do so much with, if you act with love. And I know that that sounds kind of like all you need is love, blah blah blah. No, that's not it, but it helps.
You look, I truly believe that you're absolutely in a good track. You know, I, you know, with all this bullshit in my life, you know, and don't take me wrong, it's not that I'm not proud. I'm proud that I was fighting for the freedom and democracy.
But right.
One thing I realized that love, it is universal force, right? With driving all of us into some direction. And you know, do you remember as a kid, when your first time you fall in love, whatever you can remember, but let's just say your teenager's age, that you had that feeling you can fly, like literally you can fly, you can, everything is possible. But that's a love it is, you know, that people don't understand. Like, it's easy to hate, you know, it's always easier to be negative than positive. And it's easier to be something different than being the, you know, the guy, you know, I often say to my employees in my work, you know, my business, it's like, you know, guys, don't forget to ask each other, how are you? You know what I mean? Even if you don't mean it, just ask, you know, that simple question. And if someone needs to talk, we're going to talk. So, Tara, you know, I truly admire you for who you are. The way how you think, of course, you know, I mean, that's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, just those small acts of kindness, the caring. I mean, what you just said about asking somebody how they're doing. So many people are used to just saying, hi, how are you? And not really thinking about the fact that the person might answer that in any other way other than saying good. Well, what if I'm not okay? Then what? The person is going to be like, gotta go. They're going to run in the other direction.
No, because, you but know, like, I think, yeah, yeah.
Well, what do you do about that? Like, if, I guess it depends on the circumstances, right?
We all forget in one thing that, you know, we are all not made of titanium. And the brain, it's like a Velcro, right? It's attach all negativity and it's like a Teflon reflecting all positivity. That's the normal. That's our brain. I realized that most of my time in my life, you know, when I was saying to people that I don't feel well, everything else, they ask you generally question, you know, how are you? They try to help you. And I understand they're always in a rush, you know, but I help myself. You know, people need to sit and ask the simple question themselves in the mirror. What do you want? The only person who never gonna lie, it's yourself. That's most honest, truthful person. And, you know, I've always said to people, just talk to yourself in the mirror. Ask yourself in the mirror, what do you want? Because nobody has a magic wand. Like, if I have a magic wand, I will do some things, but nothing for me. I'll make it for the world. But this is not the way how things function. But when you start talking to yourself positive way, you know what I mean? And I know, again, I know it's a cliche, but, you know, how many times I was, you know, walking somewhere and say, oh, I'm rich, I'm successful. I'm just like, whoa, man, I have no money for coffee, seriously. But I was talking to myself, you know, and then somehow this universe comes back with some offerings and you becoming, you know, have that for one coffee per day, not maybe two, but, you know, not maybe the best one, maybe McDonald's one's the cheapest one, but it's moving, but nobody will buy me coffee every day. Nobody. But
I mean, those affirmations, the positive affirmations, I was just speaking with one of my friends about how it can feel kind of weird and uncomfortable, especially when you're somebody who's used to having negative self-talk.
Yeah.
But another friend of mine was being really supportive and encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, oh, I'm losing it. Oh, no. I hate having ADHD. I can't remember. Like, I had a thought and it was
no, that's okay. So, like, you know, affirmations are good, Tara. You spoke to your friend. You know what I mean?
That. Yes. Thank you. So he was saying encouraging me to remind myself that I'm not always going to feel this way. It's not always going to be like this. This is temporary. Every second, every moment of our lives is temporary. Every feeling that we have is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
And so even if that's the kind of affirmation that you need in that moment, it can be as simple as, I'm not going to feel like this forever.
Yeah.
This is temporary, or I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Even the smallest bit of that reassurance from yourself can make such a big difference. So it doesn't have to be these like big grandiose things that you're saying. I mean, although eventually that's the goal, to continue to manifest and work towards that. But starting right low, like, I'm going to make it through today. I'm going to be okay today.
That's a good start. You know, like, as I say, you know, you can't imagine when you walk in a children's hospital, right? And when you see, and I'm like, you know, for many years, you know, I was walking there because Mateo need to stay for a couple of days, so, you know, do MRIs and all these EEGs and blah, blah, blah. And you're sitting there, and I said to myself, there's a good expression, only a health person has so many wishes, and a healthy has only one. And the mind, if mind becomes unhealthy, then that's becoming the problem. And look, we don't design our life. The worst thing is designing life towards somebody else. And that was me. Like, I think I can make the book, the menu of being ass like a pleaser, you know what I mean? And try to fit myself, my little big ass, you know, like a jukebox, you know, amongst everybody. just so everybody loves me. And then I realize, you know, like, I'm so fat, you know what I mean? Like, I can't even go there. And I decide to say, okay, like, I can't fit in all these people. I'm not a Jared Nutella. I can't make everybody happy. I'm going to do my way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I need to start learning to live with myself in my decisions, and that, you know, I'm going to be under scrutiny and people not like me, whatever it is. I don't care. You know why? Because when I go to my GP and she does my blood pressure, I say, oh, baby, it's hot. It's still all good. You know what I mean? No cholesterol, and I mean all these things, but, you know, I've jokes on the side, but, you know, I'm happy that way, Tara, but thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you, the other thing that my friend told me earlier today was, what people think of you is none of your business. And I mean, you're not wrong.
Other people's opinion, it's not your reality, Tara. Nobody lives your life.
Exactly.
You care about your kids, you're working, you know, you're going through your obstacles, you know what I mean? You're facing life on a daily basis. So who has the right to tell you how to live your life? And that's a say, like, you know, I'm admiring all this all this kumbaya, you know, people going there, walking to the fire and everything else for 2 hours, paying $150, $200. Somebody tells them, you are the great. Dude, you know, don't repeat these things.
No.
You know, be a little bit Tara. You know what I mean? And live with two kids, ADHD, you know, shuffling all this life. That's the art. Art is not wake up in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning and, you know, pretending you're doing something on social media. It's like, oh, I'm such an entrepreneur, you know, my crypto is growing. Stop it. You know, Tara wakes up in the morning, kids. And that's what I'm admiring the people when they have their life by design to give themselves to the people love the most, like your case, your children.
Right. And my friends and my family too. And
yeah.
Like that. I've struggled a lot in my life in with friendships because of the fact that I'm so used to giving everything to my kids. And I've been a mom since I was 20. So even before my daughter came along, it was everything. My entire focus is on my kids. And then sometimes it's hard to have the capacity to have the energy to really even have the what's it called? The thought or the wherewithal to reach out to people, to check in on people and see how they're doing and make sure that they're doing okay. Sometimes I just am so consumed by what's happening around me every day that when I finally get to see somebody that's not causing the chaos, it's like, I just throw it at them and I don't think about how that's going to affect them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something that now I'm learning about myself. And so what do I do about that? Well, I need to focus on myself. I need to take better care of myself. And that's what I'm learning, because all these other people are not going to do anything for me. They're not doing anything for me. They're not paying my bills. They're not, you know, they're not coming here and helping me do anything in my house. They don't live here. They're not helping me raise my kids, blah, 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 all of that. I am.
Yes.
And so who needs to be taking care of me? I do.
Yes. So. And that's a set to tell. You see what did you say? Very important thing is you are the teacher to other people, including me. Your life experience is a teaching rest of us how to live the life as well. And as I say to you, don't hesitate to show more of your knowledge, of your experience, life experience. People, there's so many people who's gonna relate themselves to you. Your cat must be hungry. Must be upset there.
I know, what is happening?
That's okay.
I don't even know which one that was. They're all so
I don't need
so
to let
noisy.
You go anyway. The cat he tried to signal, it's a time to let the gold down.
So I know. Yeah, we've been talking for like an hour. So thank you so much again for doing this. I do want to ask you, sir, will you please stop it? What's one thing that you would like to leave the listeners with?
You're good enough. You're good enough. You don't need to fit nobody's life or nobody's, you know, agendas or whatever it is. You're good enough. That's what I'm trying to say to people. Don't think that you're not good enough. You're good enough for this world, for this life. There's a purpose in your life. No one, but multiple purposes in your life. So smile, be healthy, and remember, you are good enough.
Yeah, thank you. That's really beautiful. And it's a very...
What a guy, right? He is just the best. I hope that you enjoyed that episode. Other than that, the only update that I have is that I will be starting to do live episodes regularly on Wednesdays. So it'll be Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Not sure what my topic will be just yet. I had an idea and I didn't write it down, so I lost it because, you know, ADHD brain. I'm sure it'll come back to me. Just give me some time. I will be doing some collaborations coming up on other people's podcasts. So once I have the details hashed out and when it's going to be, I will share that. But that's it, really. As always, follow me on Instagram if you don't already, @teatime.with.tara. follow me on Facebook. I think it's Tea Time with Tara Podcast. I don't really ever update shit on Twitter. I guess I should do that. But it's all of my social media are on my website, which is teatimewithtara.com. There is a contact me page there, but you can also just email me directly. It is tara@teatimewithtara.com. That's it. As always, thank you for checking out Tea Time with Tara. Stay tuned and stay